Hello, church. Welcome, friends and guests. We're glad you're connecting with us for worship at this time on this day. I'm Rockford Johnson, and I serve as senior pastor here, and it's a great place to connect, and we are so glad you're connecting with us. Please let us know you're worshiping with us by going to our website or mcfarlandumc.org or clicking on the link in the chat box, and we appreciate you doing that so that we can connect with you and you can connect with us. Let us know how we can pray for you. There's a place on the website front page where you can do that. We'd love to hear your concerns and joys and be in prayer with you as time goes by. If this is your first time to connect with us, thank you for joining us. We're glad that you're a part of this worship service, and we invite you to contact us if you'd like to, and we'd love to hear from you so that we can be in touch with you. For our church who are planning to gather here, we encourage you to pull out your old name tags and bring them along next time you come. And if you haven't come back yet, come and check it out. We're having wonderful worship together in this house, and we hope that you'll join us when you feel like it's appropriate for you. Today we continue our series, Children of God, Seeking the Light, and we're in the fifth chapter of 1 John with a focus on the nature and role of faith in overcoming the dark side of life and living in the light. And so together let us remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you. Will you please join with me in our affirmation of faith? Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. This is the message we have heard from God and declare to you: God is light. In God there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is the message you have heard from the beginning: we should love one another. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Children of God, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. God is love, and we who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in us. This is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in God's Son. This is how we know that God lives in us. We know it by the Spirit God gave us. We are children of God, seeking the light of God.
Let us pray together. God of all ages, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving. And we also come in humility because we know that the success of your kingdom does not depend on any one of us, but on Jesus Christ. And so, God, help us hold firmly on to Jesus so that neither death nor our own sin nor love of the world can separate us from you. God, cleanse us of all that would stain our lives, including the sins of which we are not even aware. Holy God, give us patience as we seek for your word to guide us and lead us. And bless those who spread the good news about Christ to peoples whose hearts are hardened and cold, so that they can respond to the warmth of your love and care. God, we pray that you would comfort the sick and those who are shaken by the loss of a loved one. Bless those who care for all people with needs, including the mentally ill, those who are out of work, those struggling with anxiety and stress, and those who have experienced broken relationships. God, fill our hearts with your Spirit of love and give us joy in the mystery of your grace. May we go rejoicing that Jesus is with us today and always. We ask this in his name and pray the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My life flows on in endless song. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm. How can I keep from singing? How can I keep from singing?
What though the tempest around me roars? I know the truth, it liveth. What though the darkness around me close, songs in the night it giveth. I hear the real though far off hymn that hails a new creation. It sounds an echo in my soul above us, lamentation.
Keep from singing.
Oh,
to the rock
I'm clinging.
Oh, to the rock
how can I
scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Hear now these words. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks for this moment together when we can explore your word and find their wisdom and insight, enlightenment, encouragement for our lives and for the mission we share to advance the way of Jesus. And so we come into this moment listening together. In the name of Jesus, amen. Apparently, there is a great argument raging on the internet, an extensive debate about whether or not hot dogs are actually sandwiches. Those who say it is, that a hot dog is a sandwich, argue that because it is protein between two pieces of bread, it is indeed a sandwich. An argument against it being a sandwich is that when we say we are having sandwiches, we think of cold sandwiches with sliced bread. So the same argument could be made against hamburgers. Someone accurately pointed out that if we promise our friends to come over, we'll have sandwiches, and they show up and we have hamburgers and hot dogs, there may be some confusion. Another case against the hot dog being a sandwich is that it's typically served on a hinged bun instead of two separate pieces of bread. And also, many hold that a hot dog is not a sandwich because it just doesn't feel like a sandwich. Now, if that's not enough, the related debate is over why there are 10 wieners in a package and only 8 hot dog buns in a package. So Heinz Ketchup Canada has launched a petition to change the math. So here's a couple of notes from signers of the petition. I'm signing this because eating those last two hot dogs on sandwich bread is soul-crushing and bad for my mental health. Another said, I'm as old as dirt, and this has been an issue since I was a young whippersnapper. It's time to change things. Even out the bun-to-wiener ratio. And so the debate goes on. Well, of course, there are many more significant arguments, debates in our world and in our lives. And underlying the biblical book of 1 John, there appears to be some kind of argument about whether or not Jesus was fully human as God's Messiah or Son, a debate that actually was not officially settled until the Council of Chalcedon in AD 451, decreeing that Jesus was fully divine and fully human. But there is a more immediate argument that plays out in our lives, our politics, our families, etc. And that is the argument simply about what is most important, what gets our attention and our time. It is an argument with the world. It is the struggle of competing values, peer pressure, expectations of society, and our inner struggles between selflessness and selfishness. The debate is about how we spend our time and resources, allocating that among work and family and self and community and service in the church, attending to our spiritual needs and engaging to meet the needs of others, etc. Now, at the deep level, it is the debate between love and fear, between the freedom that faith brings and the grip of fleeting material comforts, conveniences, and obligations. Do you sometimes feel like you are losing the battle against fill in the blank? We all do sometimes. What we need, of course, is faith, to lean into our faith, engage life through faith, find faith. Faith is the touche that wins the argument. Faith is the overcoming that overcomes, the win that wins, the victory that is victorious in the struggle between life as defined by Jesus and spending life in a way that leaves us empty in the end. Before we talk about how faith wins the argument, let's take a look at the nature of faith. The biblical word for faith, believing, or trusting often expresses movement into a new relationship or experience. It indicates trust that reaches out to establish a connection or a relationship with a new person or experience. Faith is by nature a verb. It's not something we just hold or have. It's not like signing a contract or an agreement that we know some facts. Faith is active embrace of God who is made known in Jesus as our source, our parent, from whom we get our spiritual DNA and the source of everything that conquers the darkness and the distraction of the world. The text here says, "Everything begotten of God conquers the world." If we say we have faith or that we are faithful, it means that we are actively moving closer to God and God's Jesusian or Jesus-defined dream for us and the world. The subtitle of this series of sermons is Seeking the Light of God. Faith is about constantly moving into the light as the light of God unfolds. There's another debate going on about a particular kind of palm tree that has roots coming off of the trunk above the ground like stilts. Some claim that the tree moves to seek more sunlight slowly as roots on the darker side die and it grows new roots on the side closer to the light coming through the canopy of the forest. And so it can, over time, move to be closer to the better light. Some have claimed that the stilt roots allow the tree to reposition itself as a seedling, if another tree falls on it and it needs to get out from under that tree, so to speak, or that it's helpful to find a place to grow over the debris that's on the forest floor. Now, from what I've read, it's not actually a walking palm tree, and the claim that it can move up to 20 meters per year is a myth used by tourist guides in Central and South America. You know, sometimes we like to claim we have faith, that we are moving and are faithful, but we do little to keep moving, to keep on seeking the illumination of God's way for us. Now, we do know that the sunflower moves its face from east to west during the day so that it continues to look into the sunshine all day long. in a process called heliotropism, cells on either side of the neck grow and elongate, allowing it to move its face from east to west and back to east again. It does this, apparently, to get the sunlight it needs, either for photosynthesis or to increase the likelihood of pollination because of the warmth of the sun on its face. Interestingly, the mature sunflower ceases to follow and only faces east. Now, that kind of adaptive movement is the nature of true faith, adapting our living to focus on God as our days unfold. And we, as mature flowers of Jesus, we could say, mature followers of Jesus, we are always children of God, as 1 John often references. So unlike the sunflower, as we mature, we still need to track the light of God through the day, through our life, through our years. Our faith must always be spry and ambulatory, a trust that follows where God leads rather than sitting down and waiting for the light to cross our path. When we sit down and settle, we may well begin to lose the argument for our allegiance. Faith is also experiential. It's not only moving and active, but it's experiential. It's a dynamic part of our living experience. As a capacity for moving or following or advancing in a great adventure with God, faith requires that we not only honor the scriptures and the traditions that have been handed down to us, but that we also trust our experience in and of the Spirit of God in the contemporary moment. In our reading today, much is made about witness or testimony related to a somewhat puzzling reference connecting the Spirit's witness within our hearts and minds to what is called the testimony of the water and the blood. To understand the reference to the water and the blood, we need to draw insight from the Gospel of John. John writes near the end of the book that when Jesus dies on the cross, a soldier pierces his side and there is a release of water and blood. The reference is intentionally symbolic. For early in the Gospel, Jesus tells the religious leader Nicodemus that he must be born again, born of both water and the Spirit, or spiritual water, probably a symbolic reference to baptism, to being reborn as a follower of Jesus. There are other scenes in the gospel that connect Spirit and water, bringing the two together to mean spiritual water, like the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, where Jesus talks of living water or spiritual water, and at a festival when Jesus invites people to drink from him symbolically so that the Spirit, like rivers of living water or spiritual water, will flow out of those exercising faith. The reference to the water and the blood most likely points us then to the two bookending experiences of Jesus, spiritual, deeply spiritual experiences, his baptism in water with the Spirit upon him at the beginning of his ministry, and then his death with blood symbolizing the spiritual significance of his death. Together, those two deeply spiritual experiences of Jesus give witness to his role as the Son of God. By his baptism and death, and by the course of his life and work and teaching between those, Jesus testifies both to God's love and to the gift of God's life for all who exercise faith by trusting that God's way for us is revealed in Jesus. And then, by the time 1 John is written, and for all the generations since, we also have spiritual experiences that we trust to be witnesses to God's work in our lives. We continue to have the witness of Jesus, but then we also have our experiences now. In particular, we have the sacraments of baptism with confirmation and Holy Communion, the water and the blood. in those the Spirit works in our lives, does a spiritual or God-connected or God-energized work that we can trust. After baptism and for the rest of our lives, as we live the life of faith, both remembering our baptism and engaging repeatedly in the holy meal of communion, we trust the unseen witness of the Spirit on our journey from baptism to death. So when we read in 1 John that there are three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and that they agree or that they are one or that they converge, we can understand that as a reference to the spiritual experiences of baptism and Holy Communion in particular, and also to a variety of spiritual experiences more broadly speaking. Our faith is a living, moving, active trust or reliance on God's continual interaction with us in the experiences of life. The Spirit engages us both personally in ways tailored to each of us and collectively in ways crafted for a particular church of people or a family or a class or study class or Sunday school class or a small group. Faith is trusting the witness of the Spirit in and through our spiritual experience. And almost any experience can become spiritual if we entertain the presence of the Spirit of God in what we do. Music, art, work, romance, cooking, even suffering can all become life-shaping and life-maturing spiritual experience. For there is no time and there is no place where God is absent. So in part, faith is trusting the witness of the Spirit in our personal experience and in the experiences of others. But faith is not merely trusting, it is active, responsive trusting. Faith is trusting testimony gained in experience to the degree that we base our actions on that witness. When we go to buy a used car, we look for witnesses that agree about the viability and the value of the car. So today you can shop online through a site like Carfax that lists cars for sale within the price range and specifications that you prefer. And the Carfax report can testify that there, for example, is no reported accident on the car and how often it was taken in for service. It cannot give us all the facts, but it's one witness. Then you can go into the dealer and talk with the salesperson, and she tells you that she knows some things about the cars and what she thinks about it, and she may or may not be spinning it a little to make the car more appealing. And so you weigh that testimony. You take it out for a test drive, and that experience is another witness. How cold is the air? How does it handle? What does it sound like? How comfortable is the seat, etc.? You might drive it by your trusted mechanic and have them do an assessment on it, and you check online reviews about that particular year model and if there are any persistent problems. And if all the testimony seems to agree favorably, then you take action. You make the deal and you write a check or you sign a loan and it becomes part of your life. Faith exercises trust that in spiritual experience we discover and experience Jesus as the Son of God who gives reliable witness to God. Not that we just know about what's written in the Scripture, but that we discover and experience the Spirit of Jesus in our lives. Then we continue to engage faithfully so that God is intertwined with our human experience, our water to blood, our baptism to death human story. So then, how is it that faith is an overcoming power that overcomes the world? The world being a reference to all the forces and inclinations related to darkness, destructiveness, and defeat in its many faces and nuances. We live in an ongoing argument with the dark side of the world. And the essential debate or argument between the way of the dark side of the world and the way of the light of God is at the level of virtues and vices. We can ask ourselves how the goodness of humility and deference in our lives stacks up against egotism, pride, and a lack of empathy for others. Or what about the self-interested tendency to manipulate, exploit, dismiss others, and then be without care or remorse for their getting the short end of the stick? We can be so determined to win and gain that we forget the commanding example of Jesus and his clear teaching that those who gain the world may also lose their soul, their life, their faith. But the promise to us is that faith born of the love of God seen in Jesus is our victory. That is, it is the victory-producing dynamic or process or effort that enables us to win the struggle so that we live in the light and overcome the darkness. The Greek word for victory in this original text that says faith is the victory that overcomes the world, the word is Nike, popularized as Nike, the name used for the giant sports shoe and equipment and clothing company, and the name of the mythological Greek goddess of victory who is usually depicted with wings. Faith is a daring act of trust, like that of someone, let's say, who is going to go hang gliding, and they're given the contraption with the wings, and then they are told to run at the cliff with all their energy and dive into the air and trust those wings. Faith is a daring act to mount up with wings like eagles and fly, to rise up and see life and people and the world the way God sees the world. To see its darkness, but also to see all of its potential and possibility and light. Faith is the spiritual energy and pathway to become all that we can become, to overcome negative personality traits and to overcome destructive habits. But it is not power flight, like a jet that breaks the sound barrier. Not like the flight of Virgin Galactic's VSS Unity and that project to make both tourism and research into space available for people from an airport in New Mexico. On May the 22nd, they launched that gleaming spaceship, and it reached Mach 3 speed and an altitude of 55 and a half miles, and they're about ready to launch it again. It's not that kind of power flight. The flight of faith is more like that of the red-winged blackbird captured in a photo by Jocelyn Anderson, taking a ride perched on a branch carried in the claws of a great osprey. That large hawk species was in full flight with strong, large wings stretched out, and the blackbird, capable of more modest flight, of course, was resting like a passenger along for the ride on the back end of a branch. Yes, faith is powerful, but it is expression of the power of love, not force. Faith is our trusting in the power of the love of God humbly and boldly, both when we are weak or hurt and when we are strong and able. And the person who has this kind of Nike faith, this kind of victorious faith, a faith that results in overcoming the dark seductions and reductions of the world, is anyone who willingly, like the blackbird on the branch, perches on the revealing witness of Jesus as God's Son and trusts not only in our own power, but in God's greater strength. And still, faith is a both and kind of thing, because it requires our energy and expects our wings. We do not simply ride along endlessly, passively. We cooperate. We cooperate with God while God spiritually energizes and steers our efforts by the work of the Spirit in our lives. And as we cooperate with the Spirit, we experience the better life of the age to come now in this life by overcoming temptations to destructive behavior and by being shaped and formed to be like Jesus, so that we are free to fulfill the commandment to love and free to live life in imitation of the behavior of Jesus. And so, faith becomes the strength and the way that we overcome the world of darkness, and the way that we realize God's design and potential in our lives. May it be so in your life and my life and all of our lives. Let us pray. We give you our thanks, O God, for the witness of the life and work and ministry of Jesus. And we give you thanks for your work now in our lives. Open us up to sense your presence and to engage in faith, that we might overcome whatever it is that troubles our life. And so we entrust ourselves to you. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. And now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.